You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios, Thursday edition of the show. Don't forget, coming up tonight, the New England Patriots will take on the Indianapolis Colts, Thursday night football on KOAL. The return of Julian Edelman tonight. Hey, we're going to spend the next segment, maybe even two segments, talking about the New England Patriots. And I'm really excited for our next guest. He's an ESPN senior writer and also a New York Times best-selling author, Ian O'Connor. He has his latest work out already. It's called Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time. Ian is joining us right now over the phone. Ian, a pleasure. Thank you for the time today.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I was very interested in getting you on the show, and I know that you've been making several national appearances of promoting this book. I haven't had a chance to read it all. I did get my copy in the mail yesterday. All in all, I tell you, there's not much more you can say about Bill Belichick than wow. I think he's one of the most fascinating individuals in professional sports history. I mean, we can talk coaches all day long. Bill Belichick is going to rank at the very top of that list. So I got to ask you, Ian, what was it about Bill Belichick that made you say, okay, I'm going to put together this extensive book?
Well, it was what you just said. I think he's the most fascinating figure in American sports. I don't think there's a close second. So the mystery and intrigue about him, I wanted to explore. I also wrote a column in 2000 when he got hired by New England saying it was a mistake. So I've always sort of been A, haunted by that column, and B, fascinated by how this person just defied everyone, because back in the day, around that time, 75% of the NFL had that opinion that Bill was never going to be a successful head coach. So it was more an examination of the hows and whys as far as Bill Belichick becoming the greatest NFL coach of all time, and also to humanize him. And I really wanted to do that because I figured that there was a different human being away from the facility that he never showed in the public arena. So I wanted to explore that aspect of his life. I assumed it existed. I have to say, I was surprised at how big the gap was between workplace Bill and human Bill away from the stadium. But in talking to many of his associates and friends, I think I was able to, in this book, through 350 interviews, paint a full human portrait of the man and not just the coach. And I guess I will let the reader ultimately be the judge of whether or not I pulled that off.
How much influence did Bill Belichick have in this project, if any at all?
He would not cooperate at all with this, which I sort of suspected when I signed on 3 years ago to do it. And certainly he owes me nothing, absolutely nothing. And I was a little disappointed that he reached out to some people and asked them not to cooperate as well. But in some ways, that's what Belichick does. He puts obstacles in front of his players and assistant coaches and challenges them to defeat those obstacles. And so I took it as a challenge. And I think in some ways it made me a better reporter. And I was digging deeper and doing everything I could to find people who would talk. And sometimes I felt like it was a race to get to certain people before Bill did. But there were people in the Patriot organization, players who were at the bottom of the roster. They were in the same meetings and heard the same instructions and stories from Belichick that Tom Brady and other very significant Patriots heard over the years. So I mined those sources and had to grant anonymity to many so they could speak freely about Belichick, who it's a lot easier to do these bios when the figure is retired or no longer with us on the planet. Belichick is very much the active head coach of the Patriots, so that presented the challenge, and I think I met it, and I think this is going to be the defining portrait of Belichick as the greatest coach ever.
We've had multiple players on the show that have played with Bill. I'll tell you, one of the more fascinating ones that we had is, as far as a conversation with Bill Belichick, was Benny Ricardo, who was a place kicker for the Lions back in 1976, 1977, and Bill obviously was the assistant special teams coach for the Lions at that particular time. If we go back over the course of time, when does this book start to mold the coach, Bill Belichick? Do you go all the way back into the 70s when he was a special assistant around the Colts and the Lions and even with the Broncos?
Oh, I go beyond that. It's really even before he was born. His father was such a significant force in his life as a person and as a coach. His dad, of course, was a longtime assistant at the Naval Academy. But during World War II, his father served in the U.S. Navy and was stationed on Okinawa. And he was in an officer's club, and one of the first black officers in the U.S. Navy walked in. His name was Samuel Barnes. He later became an executive with the NCAA. And every white officer in the club walked out except for Steve Belichick, who befriended him. And Barnes' daughter told me they became roommates and that the Belichick name really resonated in her family because of that act of kindness and common human decency. But Belichick, so Bill grows up in a household in Annapolis that was way ahead of its time in terms of race relations in this country. What Steve Belichick did during the war, that was before Jackie Robinson at Ebbets Field in Brooklyn. That was 9 or 10 years before Brown versus Board of Ed in the Supreme Court. So I think when people wonder how Bill connected with the modern athlete over time as an old school curmudgeon, and particularly the African-American athlete, he came out of a very progressive-minded household, and I think that had a profound impact on him as a person. And Steve, as a coach at the Naval Academy, was all about detail and execution and precision, because he was not just training football players. He was training students who were going to be combat officers in the Navy. So Steve Belichick had just a tremendous role in shaping Bill as a person and as a coach without imposing his profession on him. He did not in any way force or push Bill into coaching. It was something that Bill naturally gravitated toward because he saw how much his father loved it.
You know, you talk about Bill Belichick the person and then Bill Belichick the coach, and I have this conversation with people regularly, and this is at various levels, be it if we're talking professional or if we're talking college. I think the fan has it in their mind that these individuals are intellectually on just a different level. And Ian, tell me if my assessment is right or wrong here. In order to turn off Bill the coach and become Bill the family man and vice versa, it takes a special person to do that. What allows Bill Belichick to do that, at least in your research?
Well, I think when he's at work, he walls off that human part of himself, and that's not an easy thing to do. All he cares about when he's at the facility or at the stadium is, what can I do in this moment to help us win a football game? And that is it. He's like a machine. He is a football-winning machine. And so there are things like he'll walk by Robert Kraft in the hallway, and here's a man, the owner of the Patriots, who pays him millions upon millions of dollars every year to coach the team, and not say a word to him, not even say hello, ignore him, because he actually believes that there's no point in wasting 3 seconds for small talk when those 3 seconds can be devoted to thinking about a game plan or a scheme or about an upcoming opponent. So, but his friends insist that it's a Jekyll and Hyde act, and it's strategic in that at the podium in his news conferences, Bill is setting an organizational tone for his players, and that is built around the idea that we are in the business of collecting information and not sharing it. And that's why he gives those grim non-answers to questions, and he wants his players to do the same thing. I do know that Bill has competed against some coaches that he believes have been too candid in the news media during the week. He takes that information and he uses it against that coach on Sunday. So he runs his program the opposite way. Now, as a person, they say he's kind, he is engaging, charming even at times. He's very generous and loyal. He's a very loyal friend. And I just that's a figure that some of his friends would like to see him show a glimpse of in the public arena. But at age 66, he hasn't done it yet for the most part, and I don't think he's going to start now.
Again, our guest right now is Ian O'Connor. He is the author of the new book, Belichick. We're talking about Bill Belichick right now. Obviously, in this book, you are going to talk a little bit about the relationship with Tom Brady. And again, you just mentioned sometimes coaches are a little too candid, and Bill Belichick can take that, and he can use that against a coach on Sunday or Monday or even Thursday. But at the same time, I guess that goes within the organization as well, which is a finely tuned, you know, oiled machine. And I know you address this in the book as well, right, Ian, that it's kind of amazing that the rift between Belichick and Brady, it took 18 years for that to come out. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, it is, because if you think about it, they're working in close quarters day after day, week after week, season after season. And I'm sure they had their issues that they walled off behind the facility walls and just didn't allow it to get out into the public arena. But last year was different, and it did spill out, and it got ugly, and it got to a point where Brady, in late March, was still considering walking away rather than playing for Belichick one more season. So it got to DEFCON 1. But the partnership has always been transactional, never transformational. When Brady has needed love and affection in that organization, he turns to Robert Kraft. That's where the bromance is. They live near each other. When they have issues with Bill, they talk to each other about those issues. And with Belichick, it's been the best transactional partnership in the history of the NFL. I think Bill had coached him in such an unrelenting way that it finally caught up to Tom last year. And that was part of the problem, but not the full extent of it. The way Bill cut team access to Alex Guerrero, Tom's trainer and business partner, was a part of it. And the benching of Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl was part of it. That really angered Brady, as it did many of the Patriots. So you put all that together, and there was Tom sitting there in the offseason wondering, what am I going to do? And he wanted to continue playing, but not necessarily for his head coach. And the way he spoke, the way he exhibited how he felt, was he didn't show up for voluntary workouts. 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL, 31 showed up for OTAs. The only one who didn't is Tom Brady. And I think that message was received loudly and clearly.
It's amazing. The old saying is winning cures everything, but I guess when you win on such a consistent basis, maybe that term goes out the window. I don't know.
Well, and they did so much winning that it superseded whatever issue. And who cares if they don't love each other? They did respect each other. And always, Belichick realized Brady's greatness, and Brady realized Belichick was the best coach in the league. There was no question about that. But I've covered the Steinbrenner Yankees when there was a lot of internal conflict and they were still winning. And the Michael Jordan Bulls, Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan weren't even speaking to Jerry Krause to put that team together. So you can do it with conflict. You can still win. And I just think after, you know, with Brady too, he had five tough years at Michigan under Lloyd Carr. So it was really 23 years of very rough coaching that finally broke him. And the confrontation was really inevitable since the night they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo in the spring of 2014. As soon as that happened, there was going to be a confrontation, and it was just a matter of when, and it happened last year.
Again, we're being joined right now by Ian O'Connor. Ian, I have to break for one quick moment. Do you have time for one more segment with us?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks.
Excellent. We have more coming up with Ian O'Connor on Drive Time Sports. When we return, we'll continue to talk about his book, Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time.